find out exactly who's pushing this dip.
You know, Austin, it's the truth. You know, you got to realize that this group of entities that run this planet are basically doing all of this stuff. And we've been covering that with Angel Wars for the past week and a half. And that's why I always say to everyone listening on the show, it's always the same people. We've got a group of people out there that are being controlled demonically by these entities that have inhabited them. And at this point in time, we need to be aware of who the enemy is. We need to look at who's behind the curtain. I was talking to a friend of mine this morning, and I told her, I said, you know, the reality is that, you know, everybody wants to talk about the periphery. Everybody wants to talk about the outside of the spider. Also, you need to mute your microphone, buddy. Everybody wants to talk about the periphery of the spider web and who the people are and who the players are. Like, you got Soros, or you got Bezos, or you got, you know, Bill Gates. These are just players in the game. They're put here in front of us for us to see, but they're not the real men behind the curtain. You got to go to the Wizard of Oz with Toto when he pulls the doggone curtain back, and all of a sudden they see that there's a man pulling the levers. That's the wizards and the weirdos and the warlocks and the witches of this planet that continue to worship the unseen, you know, spirits and these other entities that manifest themselves to them on an ongoing basis to show who they are. That's who runs the planet. The controllers of this world who run BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, the 13 bloodline families that have been sowing our bread now, you don't even know who they are anymore. All of these people basically are the ones that have been bred genetically for easy satanic possession as far as at the top of the hierarchy. And this is what's happening. And that's why I took 2 weeks to take 2 weeks. I should be done with Angel Wars within three. Actually, today, tomorrow, and Friday, I should be done with it. But it's literally taking me 10 broadcasts to cover this stuff and how complicated it is and who these people are and what they did and why in the world we're on this planet and why God's here and why we were put down here with a bunch of fallen angels. We're on prison planet Earth. Can't go to Antarctica. There's an ice wall. We'll shoot you down to protect you with your airplane. We'll sink your ship. We'll arrest you. We'll come aboard. You're not going to Antarctica. Shame on you. You get a little peninsula that lets you go out to go a couple miles inland. And that's it. And all of a sudden, you're like, well, you can't go down there. Well, Admiral Byrd did. The Nazis did. Oh, yeah. All kinds of crazy stuff came out of that, didn't it? We got to realize that. But we have to understand something. You know, to refurbish the Earth to create the human races, the human races to prove who God is. And at a certain time, Lucifer was allowed to enter the garden. He was locked up for thousands and thousands of years after what he did. You know, God wanted to show the entire universe that Adam and Eve, which had been given free will, that if they obeyed God and they did what was right in God's eyes, they would continue to live forever like God told them they would. But if they fell inside the fall of Lucifer, you know, that it would not be the Godhead's fault. Think about what I just said. God gives us freedom of will. And therefore, their choice is going to be held back on them. Everybody's got choices they've got to make. Everybody has decisions they've got to make. You know, when we're children, you know, we do things we're not supposed to do. And finally, we realize after a certain point in time that, hey, you know, this is not good. I don't like this. If I do this, I'm going to have this consequence. If I do that, I'm going to have that consequence. So I prefer the better consequences. And if you have reasoning skills, and in German, there's two words, vernünftig and Verstand. If you have the ability to differentiate the truth from the lie, which is difficult in this world because the world has been veiled by this group, by the energy field they put out, which makes you not see and believe the truth when you hear about Jesus. That's why so many people won't go to church. That's why so many people won't listen when you start talking about Christ. That's why people listen to this show who really aren't born again Christians, and they give me a letter and they tell me that if I talk about Jesus, they're not going to listen to my show anymore. My response is always the same. Go listen to Joe Rogan. He can cuss at you. I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to talk about the periphery. And I'll mention George Soros, you know, Klaus Schwab out of Switzerland. I'll talk about that. And I'll talk about who he is and what he does and how he's being used as a cutout. But these people are evil to the core, and they're basically being possessed by these entities, or they're being given huge treasures. Remember, it's the same thing that Lucifer did to Jesus. When he tempted him, if you but fall down and worship me, I will give you all of these lands. I'll give you all of these cities. I'll give you all of this country, all of this stuff, if you but do this, because it was his to give. And that's what he does here, isn't it? He'll tell a person, I'm going to give you all of this stuff. I'll get you a Gulfstream 650. I'll get you a yacht. I'll get you this. I'll get you that. But you got to fall down and worship me. You got to get involved with, you know, money laundering with drugs. You got to get involved with, you know, running drug across the borders. You got to get involved with, you know, setting up a, you know, an Amazon. You have to get set up. You have to get rid of all the retail businesses. We've got to consolidate so we can control everything. But, you know, but that's for another show right now. But you got to remember, when Eve was tempted, I'll go back to that for a second. I got to recapitulate. You got to cover that again. When Eve was tempted, she most likely did not even understand what death was. If one day is 1,000 years, I mean, she had lived for 1,000 years. She probably had never been sick. She probably never aged. It's the ultimate skincare treatment, ladies. You never age. And so all of a sudden he's saying this to her. In fact, she was probably, like I talked about yesterday, probably, in my opinion, probably procreating, having other kids, children at that point. And then Lucifer turns the table on her. He goes, "You will not die if you eat from the fruit." Then he told her, he says, that Jesus and God knew that, and if they ate the fruit, they become like gods, knowing good and evil. He put a doubt into the mind of Eve that God was holding her back and not letting her be all that she could be. This is the problem that we have in society today. This was the Frankfurt School. This is what they did to us with cultural Marxism. This is what they did with feminism. The woman can't look like a lady. She can't dress nice. She can't wear a pretty sundress or a hat or anything nice. She has to be, you know, dressing like a butch dyke lesbian. Now, if you guys get offended by this show, you need to turn it off. But I'm just telling you straight up now what's going on. You know, you got to make sure you look as masculine as you can so they can't tell the difference between you and a man. And if that's not good enough, we got to make sure we put you on hormone replacement chemicals so you can look like a man. And this is all a lie. They don't want you to be good because they want you to be all that you could be. That's what they did to Eve. They told her that she could basically be, God was holding her back, and he was not. You know, and so you got to think about how these entities, you know, that were basically doing all of this stuff were just so excited about the fact that he was able to beguile her like that. You know, remember that this horrible thing, Lucifer, couldn't come to her like he looked because he'd already been burned to ash. He couldn't show up, you know, whatever he looks like, looking like that. Did he masquerade as an angel of the light and come to her as something else? Did he morph himself into a snake, or did he inhabit the snake? I don't know. All I know is that we were told that she was tempted and she fell. And we need to realize that. You know, again, he said to the Eve, "You shall surely not die, for God doeth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." This is Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Adam, however, was not deceived. And it says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression, 1 Timothy 2:14. And we need to realize that basically that this sin entered into the world. The tempter came in. The accuser of the brethren came in. The same entity that caused a third of God's holy angels that were innumerable to fall came to Eve. And she had no idea who he was or what he was. She had no idea of the pre-Adamic race. Had no idea. The same entity that appealed his sentence to God thousands of years earlier shows up again. So this timeline that we have in heaven is not the timeline we have down here. You know, my good friend Van Green was talking to me this morning. He was saying, "Well, how much time do you have left?" And I said, "I don't know." He said, "Maybe less than 25 years before this whole thing falls apart." And look what's happening right now, what Austin talked about. The Second Amendment is sacrosanct. It's sacrosanct. Because whatever these entities are, they don't want us having guns. Maybe because these people that are possessed are still in physical bodies and they're still subject to the laws of physics in this universe and in this dimension. And bullets have a tendency to do bad things to bad people. Let's not mention that. So all of this stuff is part of what we are in now, in this pawns of the game, like William Guy Carr said in his book. We're all part of it. And we have to understand that we have to play our part, you know, our role that God gave us to the best of our ability. We need to pray every day. We need to be in church all the time. All of these things are very, very important for all of us to understand and to do. You know, and remember, all the angels, the good ones, the bad ones, learned that no blame can be put on the Godhead when Adam and Eve did what they did, because they'd been warned. And they had lived a fantastic life for apparently a whole day or 1,000 years, but they chose to rebel and basically mess it all up. Can you imagine how the devil was beside himself with joy? He thought he'd ace Jesus out. Now, the question did not yet have been settled if God was going to be righteous or if his sentence was going to be appealed. Who knows? You know, he did not know that this was just round one. He didn't know that what was fixing to happen is God was going to pass judgment on him in the Garden of Eden and tell him that his head was going to be crushed. And there'd be a redeemer that would come from all of this stuff. And that the Redeemer would come and bring salvation to the human race and prove that God is righteous, Genesis 3:15. And so all of this stuff is part of what we have to realize is going on around us. You say, "Well, gosh, Ted, this is complicated." No, it's not complicated. It's just detailed. The simple plan of salvation is this. Believe in the name of Jesus. Believe that he said who he is, who he said he was. Accept him and realize that his blood's going to sanctify you. And speaking of the blood, remember what happened with Cain killed Abel? Remember this one? Genesis 4, 1 through 12. You can read the entire account. "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth out unto me from the ground." Blood puts out scalar energy. It puts out a frequency. It's powerful. You can take the blood from a living person and you can transfuse it, you know, give it a transfusion into somebody else. You can store it. But you cannot take the blood from a person who just died and transfuse it into somebody else because the living part of that blood is gone. It'll get somebody sick or kill them. You got to realize that you can't use the blood of a dead person and transfuse it into a live person, because the blood literally, what's the best way to say this from a physics standpoint? The blood is like a separate entity that goes through our veins. That's why it's always used as sacrificial rituals. That's why Jesus says, take, eat, take, drink. He's not talking about drinking his physical blood. He's talking about how this blood's going to come in you through communion and change you back to that of the Father because of the power of the blood. And what have they done in the Christian churches? They've taken the songs about the blood out of the doggone hymnals. They don't want to talk about the blood anymore. They don't want to do that. Because why? Because that's where the power comes from. Without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice of sins. The blood is like a separate living entity inside of you. And the heart pump and the energy field, the nerve plexus around the heart puts out an energy field that goes out 20 to 30 feet around a person. That's why when you get around somebody that you don't like, who's not of the same spirit, you feel a repulse, like a magnet, like putting two north sides of a magnet together. It pushes away from each other because the energy field's not compatible. And then you get with somebody that you really like, and the energy fields merge almost instantaneously. And it doesn't matter if they're a male or a female. You feel a camaraderie. You like with my buddy Van. He could pretty much ask me to do anything for him. I would take care of it. And same thing with him for me. And see, when you have relationships like that, or a marriage like that, or you know, a girlfriend experience like that, or whatever, you've got to realize that's very, very, very unique because the blood creates such a strong energy field. You know, you walk into a room and you go, I shouldn't be here right now. This isn't okay. This is not okay. We shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be partaking in any of this stuff. This is not okay. This ain't right. But all of a sudden you feel it and it is right. And you go, okay, well, this is right now. And you think to yourself, okay, well, that means we have a convergence of the energy fields. It's harmonics is what it is. And you end up, because remember, we're like the whole universe is like a giant symphony. And so Lucifer understood this because he was the cherub that sung the songs and led the worship praise. It's like the whole universe cries out together in harmony when it's lined up properly with God Almighty. And that's what Christ allows you to do. He allows you through his blood and through his sacrifice to come directly back to God, to allow you to be harmonic with God. It's how it works. The entire universe is a giant frequency, and we have to understand that's how God made it. And Lucifer understood this because he was the head cherub who led the worship and praise in heaven, and he wanted to create disharmony. That's why when you go to a concert that's satanic, that's heathen, you can feel the energy fields go against you. It pushes back on you. You go, this isn't okay if you're being led by the Holy Spirit, because you realize very, very quickly there's certain things you should be involved in and certain things you shouldn't be involved in. If you're listening to some death cult like Black Sabbath or AC/DC or whatever, you know, or KISS, you know, that they used to call that, Kids in Satan's Service, you start realizing very quickly that this is not where you need to be. But again, that's so alluring, isn't it? A third of the angels, an innumerable amount, they couldn't be counted, of angels throughout the entire universe fell. Because of this song, apparently, that Lucifer decided to sing and bring them into this lie. And that's where we find ourselves today. And Lucifer knew that sometime in the future that the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, have to introduce a Redeemer into the human race. And after having had a conference, I guess, with this fallen angels, the next thing was to attack the refurbished creation through what Adam had done. And what he wanted to do, and this is Genesis chapter 6, and I told you I wanted to cover that today, he started mixing fallen angels and humans. And once the human beings had been contaminated to 100%, this is my opinion, it could force the Godhead to abandon the Redeemer project or Jesus or include the fallen angels in the project. I mentioned this to you the other day. And then it goes on and it talks about this. And it said, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, but that he also is flesh, yet in his days shall his number be 120 years. And then it goes right into this. I talked about this yesterday with the Greek gods and the pantheon and all the rest. There were giants on the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children, and the same mighty men which were of old, men of renown, Genesis 6, 1 through 4. Now, if you go back to the book of Enoch, you know, Enoch was basically taken up to heaven and given a book, which I believe was held, you know, together by Noah and kept in the ark, so it would be accounted as history. There were 200 fallen angels who were before the rebellion of Lucifer, who had been working with the Godhead before the rebellion to create, you know, it helped, even though it wasn't helping God, to basically do what God wanted to do as far as in setting up, I guess, laboratories to create different planets and different entities, you know, that only God could put the spark of life into. Before they rebelled and joined Lucifer, they had retained their skill, apparently, and on knowledge and how to create different things that God had taught them how to do. This is why they still do this today when they send these doggone spaceships around and they collect human beings and take them and do experiments on them and collect their DNA. So you say, well, that sounds crazy, Ted. Okay, whatever. If you want to believe that, believe it. If you don't believe it. But I'm telling you what, this stuff flying around is real. The government's even come out and given us full disclosure now, said it's real, and they don't know what they are, and they're lying about that. They know exactly what they are. And so we have to understand that these guys are geneticists and what they do. And, you know, and what they wanted to do, they wanted to be able to have a Lucifer, you know, descend to the ground and create physical bodies for them to possess. They could use these to procreate babies with human women. They chose Mount Hermon as their headquarters, which is approximately 9,000 foot in elevation, and it's located in Syria. Now think about it for a second. We went into Syria again to overthrow the government. Remember that? With all the rest of the stuff that we did, and we bombed Syria on an ongoing basis still, and we used Mossad to do that. What are they looking for in Syria? Are they looking for artifacts of this? Do they know this is there? Do they have artifacts that are buried in underground caves and tunnels? Are they trying to find some type of preserved corpse from some type of Nephilim from way back when to try to recreate that and create with a bloodline or with genetics or with hybrid technology the ability to bring these entities back onto this planet again after they were once wiped out? I don't know. I'm asking you those questions. You know, and so we have to understand all of this stuff that, you know, is part of this pre-Adamic race and what happened. And we have to understand also, it says that there were giants on Earth those days. And we have to understand what this is. And you see these old skeletons everywhere, these huge, huge guys, 8, 10, 12 feet tall. And remember Goliath? He was here after the flood. It was because they came back after the flood. And remember, it was about 700 years after the birth of Seth that Enoch was active on the Earth. And he was a man of God. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis 5, 19 through 24. Then it says in Hebrews 11, 5, by faith Enoch was translated, and he could not see death. It was not found because God had translated him or took him to heaven. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he had pleased God. Now, isn't that the same testimony that we want? That we want to serve God and obey his commandments and please him and do what pleases him in his hearts and in our minds? We got to realize that's who we are before Christ. That's who we are before God. Are we going to do what pleases him? And I'm not saying that we all don't make mistakes. I'm not saying we all don't sin. It's simply we all do that on an ongoing basis. But the reality is that where's your heart? What do you want to do with your heart? What do you want to do? Who do you want to serve? You know, Enoch was the sixth generation after Adam, and he walked close with God Almighty. Several times he was taken to heaven, just like the Apostle John was. He wrote two books while he was alive on the earth, and the future generations would have a record of what had taken place. In Enoch chapter 1, chapter 6, book 1, Enoch gives us the following details. There was a group of fallen angels, these 200, and the fallen angel leader was Semyaz, Semyaz. And Semyaz did not trust the other fallen angels, as he knew that he would be violating the will of God if he did what these other angels wanted to do, and he did not want to be the one that the Godhead would turn their back on. So he had these other angels swear on an oath that they collectively were responsible for what they were going to do. And you remember Enoch was walking in there, and he's walking into heaven with God, and he said, you know, and the Ancient of Days showed up. That would be God the Father. And there was somebody like the Son of Man walking with him, whose countenance was bright. You need to read the book Enoch. And he talks about God the Father. He talks about the Son. He talks about all of this stuff because he's there with in heaven with the Godhead in the third heaven. And see, yeah, I love that term, by the way, Ancient of Days. And it's just something that we need to realize is that this universe has been here for an innumerable amount of time. We can't figure that one out, even with carbon dating. But the God has always been, and he always was, he always will be. And he set up this plan for us to be able to go back to him and be part of his kingdom again in heaven through Christ, which he had to do because we had to have a redeemer because we were in a fallen state. All of this stuff was put together for us to be here where we are right now so we could serve him and obey his commandments. Semyaz then divided, the group into 10 teams as they worked to create physical bodies apparently for themselves because they remember they had to have a plasma body like you talked about it under an ionized sky. I talked about that on Monday because when they're in a different state of matter in a different dimension, they have to have a physical body to inhabit. Now, I'm going to say something. This is very important that you understand this. This is why this thing of possession that I talked about on Monday creeps up all of the time. These entities cannot be in this dimension without inhabiting a body because they basically are the fourth state of matter. They're like a plasma state, and they could go back and forth, but apparently it takes a lot of energy in order for them to do that, and they need to be in a body that's compatible with the DNA. So these entities, these bloodline groups for thousands and thousands of years were bred to allow these plasma bodies to inhabit them more efficiently. That's what demonic possession is all about. That's why Jesus talked about it. You know, don't remember when this group of entities he's about to cast out, they said, oh, we know who you are. Don't cast us into the pit. And then the one guy basically who was possessed, he starts running around. This is the Son of the Most High God. And he had to be rebuked and told him to be quiet. Because all of this stuff happens on an ongoing basis around us. Don't remember what I told you with Mancow? You know, he was up there with a priest, Malachi Martin, and he was walking through New York City. And Malachi Martin could see into the third dimension, the fourth dimension. And he could see these different entities walking around possessing these people. And he was telling Mancow. And then he told Mancow, he said, do you want me to show you? And he had his crucifix on. And he took his crucifix and he held it up in the air. And he spoke in Latin. And he called these things out. And one of the guys who was possessed saw him, started barking like a dog, and ran off on all fours. Mancow saw that. This is all around us. This is the groups of entities that inhabit human beings. And we have to understand that this is not something that we should be involved in. You shouldn't get involved in the dark side with Ouija boards and tarot cards and all the rest of this stuff. That we're supposed to serve the Most High God and understand that this dark stuff is only going to drag you deeper and deeper and deeper into a pit with them because they don't want to be there alone because they know they've already been judged. And they want to create everything as evil as they possibly can, not because they want to destroy the earth, because that's what Satan wants to rule. That's who they are. And, you know, each of the fallen angels, the 200, descended down from their mountain base and selected women to be their wives. But they had to give up their own – they had to convert them from their plasma bodies. As these women gave birth to their babies, they could now produce about half of the human, half fallen angel race for which there was no redemption. This offspring of these fallen angels became known as Nephilim. Because these angels had superior weapons, probably some type of scalar energy device, they forced the population to submit. You know, Adam had not been given any knowledge of, you know, how to do mining and produce weapons, et cetera, et cetera. But these fallen angels taught people how to find copper and silver and gold and everything else. They used their technology, apparently it could have, I guess, to dig mining shafts into the earth to extract iron ore and other types of ore. Then you see all this. You see the Copper Age, the Bronze Age, the Iron Age, all of the stuff. You go back in history, you can see it. You know, but the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they had rules of engagement that had been listed. They did not want Lucifer and his fallen agents that they could start introducing advanced technology. They didn't want that because human beings, they didn't feel was ready for that because they had already had it happen. Like with Atlantis, it already happened in the pre-Adamic race. You know, when Plato gave the account of Atlantis, I believe that was real. But Atlantis was destroyed in the pre-Adamic flood because it was all part of this. And it talked about that, you know, with Plato in his writings because it was something that had been carried from generation to generation. And they had remembered all of this stuff, I guess, collectively or in some type of scroll that had been saved even after the flood. Who knows what happened, how they found out about this? Or Satan could have revealed it to these guys, you know, and talked about it with Plato. Who knows? But the reality is God did not want that advanced technology back on this planet again that fast. He didn't want it. And so gradually – we started getting more and more and more technological advances, you know, because there were rules of engagement that were put into place. You know, these angels then taught the human beings how to make swords and knives and shields and breastplates and digging tools like shovels and bars. This is all from the book of Enoch. They created demon gods and taught them how to make idols and how to worship them and how to sacrifice the children to release the energy into that next dimension to feed these entities. They were doing all of this stuff too because, remember, they couldn't get sustenance from God Almighty anymore because they were separated from him. They were taught to make bracelets for demon worship and ornaments of all kinds. They used cosmetics, etc. They showed them how to make natural remedies for plants and herbs and men and women. And they taught women how to be witches and shamans and warlocks and weird stuff and how to drink blood. You know, human and animal sacrifices made to these demon gods. And in a few years, the masses of people were demon-possessed. And with each year, more and more of these halflings, these inbred people were being born, and the goal of angels was to have all of humans contaminated. And some of the angels, you know, started to tinker with the animals and the trees. They sinned against the reptiles. That's where I believe all of these dinosaurs came from, and these T-Rexes and everything else. And also talked about that in depth before. They went against the vegetation. They started with their knowledge of DNA. They taught the humans how to produce genetically modified crops, which in many cases are not as healthy for you. In fact, pretty much every case. Now we have, you know, hybrid soybeans, hybrid corn, hybrid everything. All of the stuff is toxic. And they put all these different chemicals and breed it right into the plant, and corn becomes like a pesticide. I mean, it's crazy what they've done. And the once beautiful refurbished earth was being destroyed by more and more and more these entities because that's what they wanted to do. they educated people in writing and the use of ink and paper, and they were used to write down false doctrine and to teach people to be perverse and teach them pornography and teach them how to have all kinds of horrible stuff. It's like I told you before, when the Third Reich back in the 30s burned the books that were all over Europe, all over Germany, they weren't burning the classics. They were burning the porn. They're burning the filth. They're burning the stuff that was basically teaching people not to believe in God Almighty. They were coming against what was going on. Berlin was one of the most decadent places in the world in the 20s. They had brothels where bestiality, I won't go into detail, bestiality was normal and legal in the brothel on a stage, right? They had all kinds of manners of perversion. Berlin and the Germans had become completely and totally corrupt from what had happened after the Versailles Treaty and what had happened with Germany, and they were being possessed by these entities. And when the Third Reich came in, and I'm no fan of the Third Reich, I want you to know that. But when they came in, they realized that the cultural degradation of the society was going to be extreme if they did not clean it up. And that's why they burned the books. So what do they say to us now? Well, they were a bunch of book burners. Why don't you ask what books they were burning? They weren't burning the Bible. They weren't burning the Word of God. They were burning the filth and the porn. And see, this is what we have to do again. We have to come in and look what DeSantis just did. People are confusing Ron DeSantis now being a book burner because he said the state of Florida will not endorse open pornography and textbooks for children as the ages of 4 to 8. We're not going to do that. We're not going to groom these children. So he passed the anti-grooming laws. You know, so now DeSantis is being called a book burner. And he says it's an anti-gay law. Well, it's not an anti-gay law. It's an anti-let's not pervert little children law. But people don't get that. They want to twist it all and make it okay. You know, these entities also taught shipbuilding and navigation. Maybe that's why, you know, they weren't that surprised when Noah was building a boat. They probably wonder why he was doing it on dry land. They probably thought he was crazy about that. They taught women how to abort babies. You know, they didn't know. They figured that an aborted baby was an extra treat for the people that were burning sacrifices to these entities. They had all kinds of weird perversions they showed. You know, the kinky sex, all the weird stuff, all this crazy stuff was there. Homosexuality was introduced as a goal of the fallen angels, was to base all humans by all the laws of God. After 1,600 years of getting worse and worse, you know, this is how the Bible described it. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. Stay with me on this, okay? Because he understood what had happened and how the angels had come in and basically just destroyed the planet by breathing in with them, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man. Of course, he really wasn't destroying the man, was he? He was destroying these Nephilim and these giants and these half-breeds because they were no longer in his image, and they were all evil. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I love, created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and these, you know, and Noah was basically walked with God, and Noah had clean DNA and clean seed. And Austin covered this the other day. When the children of Israel were brought into the promised land, they had to clean out the giants again. This was not a metaphor. These entities had come back and did it again. They had to go in, and they said, we were like grasshoppers in their sight. And God says, why are you concerned about this? I'm walking with you. I'll take care of this for you. And we got to understand that. And you know, and then when you really stop back and you look at it all, and you realize that Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them, you know, with the earth, Genesis 6, 5 through 13, which is the second flood. And then God moved into action. Remember, he ordered his holy arrest angels at that point to arrest the 200 fallen angels and put them in a special prison, you know, in the earth that is called Tartarus. Then it goes on to say, if you read this in Jude 1 through 6 and 2 Peter 2, 4 through 5, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, cast them down into hell and delivered them to the chains of darkness to be reserved into judgment, and spared not the whole world but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, 2 Peter 2, 4 through 5, and then Jude 1 through 6 says, and the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their dimension, they're calling it their own habitation in the Bible, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness into the judgment of the great day. And of course, then Noah, he's told Jesus told Noah to build the ark, to use that to save his family and the animals and the creeping things, Genesis 6, 14 through 22. On that day, Noah was 600 years old, 2 months and 17 days old. And then, and basically, the ice canopy was collapsed around the planet. We talked about this the other day, which caused it to rain for 40 days and nights. The deep reservoirs under the earth, which they say now there's deep seas under the earth, were opened up and flooded the earth. And in a short time, the highest peak in the world was 22 feet underwater. And the flood lasted for 5 months, Genesis 7, 11 through 24. And guess what? The world that was no more, period. That's what happened to it. It disappeared because God had genug, enough in German. And, you know, it's interesting. It says this. This is something we need to all heed. This is Jesus' warning. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not me, no, not the angels of heaven, no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as those the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And he knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall it be with the coming of the Son of Man be. Two will be in a field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, and one will be left. But it's saying this right here. It will be like this again when Jesus comes back. Guys, you can't pick up a newspaper without seeing perversion of all types. You can't pick up a newspaper and not see transgenders anymore. You can't pick up, you can't even go to a theme park or into a public area now and not see perversion openly on display, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the return of Jesus. That's what we have to understand, who Christ is and who he is and what he did for us. We're pawns in this giant game, this chess piece of weirdos that are basically running this planet, but we don't have to be unless we allow ourselves to be. You always stand with Christ. You keep your prayers, and you pray every single day, and you stay in church, and you realize that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice, and we'll be glad in it. I just can't say you can't enjoy the things of the earth and have a nice car and have a nice car. I'm not saying, or have a nice house. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is this. Don't let those things have you. Don't allow yourself to be consumed with greed. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil, not money. Always remember that. And remember, you stand your ground. You dig in. You dig a trench and you lock your legs down. And you say, it doesn't matter to me. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord all the days of my life.